Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney coming alive from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Football Friday, obviously all football the first hour. Do a little hoops here, and we'll get to LeBron. So I don't think I've ever seen this before. This bothers me a little bit. Did you see this with the Lakers game last night?
I did.
All right, we're going to play something.
That was kind of funny, though.
Okay, let me just set this up for everybody who might not have seen it. Obviously, most people were watching the football game, mm-hmm. as we were, but catching the highlights, et cetera. So, obviously, the Lakers lost. They've been playing very well, and they got beat up a little bit. They gave up 126 points to the Rockets. They lost by 15.
Gave up a 50-point triple-double to James Harden is what they gave up.
Trip-dub. It happens. He's still a great player. We kind of forgot about it.
We really have not
talked about James Harden at all this season.
He doesn't deserve it. Well, he's banged up a little bit, too, for a while. But 50 points is against the Lakers team that was playing significantly better.
Oh, yeah.
It's an accomplishment.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me if he does it 3, 4, 5 more times this year. I mean, James Harden, when he's on, can do anything. You know that. So we're going to play this. The frustration that we reference is that the Lakers really felt as if there were a lot of ticky-tack calls to the point where LeBron and Lonzo put their hands behind their backs during one sequence as if to feign, I can't defend these guys, so this is what I'm going to do. LeBron was asked about a post-game, and here's what went down.
LeBron, there was a point where some of the Lakers were defending with their hands behind your backs. Were you guys trying to make a point that you weren't making contact with some of the Rockets players?
Just trying to defend without fouling. You know, that's a point of emphasis anytime you play Houston. They got guys that can sell calls really good, you know, Chris and James. So you got to try to keep your hands out of the cookie jar.
Is it harder for young guys to not, especially with James?
I thought someone was tough. I thought a few of them was tough calls. I mean, we played, really good defense, and some of the calls, it's nothing you can do about them. But you know, just try to move on to the next possession.
All right, so that's what LeBron said, and you know, composed, but he's letting us know he wasn't happy about it. The only problem I have with this, aside from I'm not going to get overly worked up. The optics are a little sub-professional. I don't exactly love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, imagine a nickel quarterback.
That's true.
I mean, it still was a professional game.
True.
Yeah, I mean, despite the fact that they play 82 of them.
That's the only reason you can get away with doing this and being like, oh, we can't win. We can screw around to make a point, and a game's not going to cost us. Where if you do this in week 10 and you lose that game because you're messing around to make a point, it ends up coming to bite you. You end up not making a postseason. The reality, though, is this BT, 19, they took 32 free throws.
The Rockets did.
The Rockets, yep. Compared to 27 for the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's not exactly the night to protest.
I know. So first of all, the discrepancy is not big.
No.
Number two, 19 of those 32 were James Harden. This is what James Harden does. Mm-hmm. This is why he won the MVP, because he's got at least 10 to 15 freebies a night. I don't care who he's playing. You know, he could be playing the Celtics when they were playing great defense last year, and he's still going to get 10 to 15 free throws a night. It's just what he's perfected. He's perfected going into the lane, because that's how he scores. Yep. Either taking threes or he's going in. He's not taking a mid-range jumper. He's perfected going in the lane and saying, here, my arms are right out here. Here's the ball. Go get it, psych. I got you. You know, harm and foul, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's what he does. And so I get what they're saying, and they may be setting themselves up for the next time they see each other, or just to be, I don't know, pains in the butt and complain about something. But this is what you should expect from James Harden. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I want to reiterate what you just said, because this can't get lost in the conversation, because this is the important part. The Lakers took 5 fewer free throws than the Rockets.
Yes.
And by the way, the Rockets were actually called for more fouls.
You're right.
They just happened to take a few more shots. It didn't work out.
You're right.
Some reach-ins, non-shooting fouls, et cetera. Right. And, you know, listen, if this was like a season-long issue that could be backed up statistically, then I might say, all right, LeBron's... If there's somebody who's going to take a league stand, then LeBron's the guy. He's been around forever. He's the greatest player and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But how about this? They're 13th. They're tied for 13th in points per game. Pardon me. They're tied for 19th in points per game. And they're tied for 12th in free throw attempts per game. So, and then, of course, to say it again, there was only 5 more attempts from the free throw line for the Rockets last night. So I just don't understand the reaction.
I don't either.
It's not consistent with what actually went down.
No, I mean, maybe they're frustrated because they lost a game they thought they could have won.
Well, get over it.
That's really all it is. And so, it's hard to make a bigger deal out of this than it actually is, because this is how we know the Rockets play. It's a gripe that has existed for 3 or 4 years because of James Harden. It's really James Harden that you're talking about. He draws fouls like nobody else in the NBA. Just because it costs you a game doesn't mean you basically quit for a couple plays.
Look at this guy's outfit.
It's ridiculous.
What in the world is that?
I thought that as soon as they showed it.
Who
it makes
the hell
no sense.
Wears that?
But no sense.
I mean, what is that?
That doesn't look good. D-Cell, you got one of those?
It's terrible.
You got some snake skin in your wardrobe?
Yeah, I didn't want to wear it on the same day as James.
Yeah, so I gotcha.
Kept mine in the closet.
Is that warm, or is it insulating, or is it a little bit chilly?
Nah, yeah, it's thin.
Gotcha.
It's horrendous.
So you couldn't wear it in the Northeast. I gotcha.
It's horrendous.
Makes sense.
But, imagine like a catcher and a pitcher as well, a battery, right?
Yeah.
I can't even waste time.
That's so ugly.
But it's heinous. All these athletes, not all, but some of these outfits these athletes wear, mm-hmm. you look like clowns. You look like absolute clowns.
My mom used to always say, where were you going to wear to church?
Church it up.
You ain't wearing that to church.
Mama Barbara, keeping it real.
Exactly.
What the hell was I just going to say now? Oh, God.
My bad.
A late watch of the game, lads. So it's okay. What the heck was I just going to say?
I don't know. Talking about how these – well, first of all
– he's making fun of the uniform of his outfit.
Yeah.
And then
– we talk about the free throws.
I remember.
Look, James Harden –
what was it about the free throws?
James Harden takes the second most free throws in the NBA behind Joel Embiid. It's just – this isn't a big deal. They're making it a big deal, the Lakers, but it's not a big deal. And we're talking about it because LeBron said it. And
I know what I was going to say. I'm sorry, Deke. I got it.
But I was bridging for you.
I appreciate that. Give me a little time to vamp, right?
Man, so Brooklyn.
Yes.
Bridge for you.
Oh, God. That's the one thing about these games. I had to watch that whole post game last night.
I know.
Because Phillip Rivers was on fire on the post game. Even Jen said.
I love how he talks.
Jen's like, this guy's so energetic.
I love how he talks.
He's great. He's a competitor.
He doesn't get enough of that, by the way.
I agree.
We don't hear enough of him. And the personality that he has.
We don't.
Or the fact that he lives in San Diego still and takes a chartered, basically, Sprinter, which is one of those big Mercedes vans, and goes to Los Angeles. I mean, that's just his story's awesome.
It's a great story. Before I forget again what I was going to say. So it's okay. So the battery, right? Take a battery in baseball, pitcher, catcher, right? Let's say we'll take Mad Bum and Posey.
Yep.
Top of mind. They jump to my head, right? Let's say Mad Bum's getting squeezed, or at least in his opinion, he's getting squeezed.
Yep.
Outer portion of home plate, on the black, should be a strike. It's called a ball. And it happens a few times. And in a protest, jointly, Mad Bum doesn't need to be in on this, but if Posey decides, you know what, this guy behind me is having a rough night, I'm going to get out of the way when Mad Bum unleashes a 93-mile-per-hour fastball and let it hit the ump in the chest. Like, I mean, it's not... What LeBron did last night, nobody was in physical threat.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to get hurt. It was not a threat to anybody.
But that's why you were annoyed by them putting their hands behind their back.
Yeah, but I'm trying to have some sort of connection to other sports. Like just a D-back just laying there past the 50 yard.
But nobody else could do it.
That's my point.
Basketball is the only sport where you can get away doing something dumb like that.
Let me ask you this, though. What if it wasn't LeBron? What NBA player? D-Cell, jump in on this. What NBA
vilified.
What NBA player do you think is treated the most unfair? Now that Carmelo, although I believe that most of it was warranted, now that Carmelo's not in the league, we're not going to use Carmelo as an advantage. Because if Carmelo did that, it would be memes and gifs, and Carmelo, he's actually playing better defense than he actually tried when Carmelo's a better defender with his hands behind his back than when they're actually in front of him, is what would happen. Who is the guy? Embiid doesn't take a lot of heat. Westbrook, he's had a great season. It's kind of cooled off there. Who is the villain of the NBA?
That's an interesting question.
Is it Durant?
I mean, maybe.
In a weird way?
It's interesting, though, BT. That's part of the problem with the NBA, with why the night-to-night isn't as compelling as it used to be.
Well, I think the night-to-night's phenomenal.
It depends on the matchups. But there's no villains. There's nobody you hate in the NBA anymore. You used to hate the Pistons, unless you were a Pistons fan, right? You used to hate.
You went back to the Bad Boys or the Pistons of the mid-2000s?
Well, I mean... probably a little bit of both, but definitely the bad boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely the bad
and
boys.
And that hate was rooted in jealousy. You're like, I wish my team was that. Was them.
You're right. And if you were not in New York, you hated the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
100%.
There's no villains. Think of the Oakleys of the world and Lambeers. Like, these dudes are just badasses, just mean. Like,
you know how you become a villain now? You're too good. And jealousy.
You're right.
That's your only villainous trait.
That's a great point.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Because think about the Warriors. Yeah, the Warriors, right?
We went from loving them to break them up. Too much success. Tired of the Warriors. They're doing too well.
Same thing with Westbrook. Westbrook wins the MVP because he averages a triple-double. Uh-huh. You start hating him.
That's
an unbelievable accomplishment.
I know.
Right?
I know.
We should be lauding that.
I know.
But we don't.
And by the way, I think this came up on yesterday's show. He's taking almost 3 shots fewer a game. Oh. They're playing really well,
they
Oklahoma
really are.
City.
It's because he's learning.
Yeah. And Paul George is playing like a superstar again.
Really, that's what it is.
Yep.
But it's also Russell not saying, I don't got to do it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I have a compliment, even though he did have one in KD, but whatever. They were both young. I have a compliment now that I can trust.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be the hero every night.
Well, I'm not vying for the stage. I'm willing to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get to a certain point in life,
yeah, you realize you got to win a championship,
and you need help. You can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. DeSale, he's still averaging a triple double this year.
Is he really?
22, 10, and 10.
Get out of here!
Did he just crack 10 on one of those two?
Rebounds is 10.3, and assists is exactly 10.0.
And how many assists did he have in his last game? Because I did not know that. This has to be a recent development.
Yeah. It looks like he's had it for the last week or so, because last game was 7 assists. Game before that was 10.
Wow.
Look at this guy spitting out numbers. That a boy,
D-Cell. That's a heck of a stat,
D-Cell. Good job, D-Cell.
Because we don't even talk about that. Oh, D-Cell's the best.
Say
Samter's not in the room right now.
Did Samter go home?
D-Cell's better. D-Cell's better than Samter.
Where did Samter go?
He's on the phone.
Yeah. Where'd he go?
That's a heck of a stat.
Look at D-Cell's reaction. I don't know. And we'll give you a real reaction. I don't care. That's right. That's what he's really thinking. Get out of here. I'll become the producer as well. That's what you really want.
But you know what's funny? I still look at Russell Westbrook as this diva, like I'm going to do it all myself, when in actuality, his game has evolved.
So
if you're not watching night to night, you haven't seen it. Like, his game has evolved, and he's turned into this unselfish team player, and it's no surprise that OKC is sitting at the top of the Western Conference right now.
Even though
most of the last couple of years he's been great, but they're sitting around the middle.
Yep, that's true. Denver just tied him, by the way, in terms of percentage points there. But you're right, Denver was too, and Oklahoma City. Actually, now the Warriors. So OKC is now a half game back. They were one, and now they're a half game back at the top spot. To your point, I'm not trying to call you out or break you, but it just to be. On top of that.
I don't mean number one. I mean, at the top.
Yeah, they were literally number one a couple of days ago.
But they also used to hang around 7, 8.
Yeah, 4, 5-ish.
Are they going to make the postseason?
Who are they? 6.
Russell Westbrook's going to win the MVP. Are they going to make the postseason? Huh? They never calculated. By the way, Paul George is actually the leading scorer on the squad.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another market change in how they've operated on the court.
I've got to come to the determination. I don't need to do it today, but I need to do it pretty soon. I still don't know how I view the Thunder moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a couple of teams, the Clippers, I think we both believe they'll kind of revert back to, maybe a 6 or 7 seed.
Yeah, because it feels like they're playing outside of themselves a little bit, sure.
I could see Portland getting hot a little bit, Pelicans playing better basketball, maybe Utah cranking it up at some point, playing better. I don't know. Maybe the Thunder are here to stay this year.
Maybe
it's a winning recipe.
Maybe. We'll find out tonight as they play the Denver Nuggets.
Where's that game? Is it in Denver?
It's in Denver. It's in Denver.
Okay. Pepsi Arena. There you go. All right. Good venue. Not as good as OKC, but certainly good fans of Denver. All right, Teague, let's get a break. Coming up next, let's get into Josh McDaniels. I want to run something by you because now we're starting to get, and understandably so, the rumor mill. We ran through all the teams with JLC that we think will be looking for a new coach, and the list is like 9 or 10. We can actually reset that when we get back, tell you what JLC thought. But Josh McDaniels and what went down last year, his commitment, then withdrawing, as amazing an offensive mind as he is, would you trust him after what he pulled last year? We'll get to that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing. Knowing when to plan the play and knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines. Making a plan and executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part but you're not in a position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping cost, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's easy, and you know that what you want will be there when you get there, so it saves time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins and ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play and shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save a little money, switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all. Geico.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney, 22 minutes past the hour. Football Friday here on the show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 across the country every day. Appreciate you chilling with us. 3 hours from 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. All right, Tiki, I want to throw this at you here. So just to briefly reset, so we have JLC on the show every Friday, first hour, and it's up there, radio.com. YouTube, TikiandTierney.com, and talked about a lot of stuff, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, MVP race. Mm-hmm. But and we also ran down the spots where there's a lot of noise about possible coaching situations.
Yep.
All right? And wanted to get Jay's opinion on what he thinks will happen, and we threw a bunch of teams at him. He's not sure about the Ravens yet. Could go either way. He knows the Jets are making a move. Browns mm-hmm. are making a move. Not yet sure about the Bengals. Believes the Jaguars will make a move, so Marone would be out. Jason believes that. Broncos trending toward out, although it's kind of gone back and forth, so yep. We'll see with Vance Joseph. He doesn't believe Jay Gruden's going to be out with the Redskins. Not sure about Ron Rivera with the Panthers. Dirk Cutter gone from the Bucks. Believes Quinn's safe in Atlanta, and a little bit to our surprise, and also a little bit to our chagrin, Arizona yeah. looks like they're going to go one and done, which is a brutal way to run a franchise.
Yeah,
that stinks.
I mean, you think about the process when they had a chance to keep James Betcher there.
Yeah.
Who was the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they did.
Now the coordinator with the New York Giants. Yeah. And you went outside and hired another defensive guy with no experience. It doesn't make sense to do that.
Made no sense.
I hope it doesn't happen for his fault because it's grossly unfair.
Yeah.
Especially when you end up starting a rookie quarterback for the majority of the season.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense. But
no, but he was pretty confident. He was pretty adamant about that.
Plus, that means he's hearing something.
Exactly, for sure. He's piped in, so we'll see about Arizona. But those are the jobs. I feel like there was one other that came. Oh, the Packers.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't ask him about the Packers.
Yeah, but.
You think there's a chance that they would keep Phil? I should have asked him about Green, but we'll ask him next week.
There's a familiarity. You should ask him on Sunday so you can.
Yeah, I will.
Tell us on Tuesday. But there's a familiarity. With Philbin there,
yeah.
because he was the coordinator. Aaron likes him. That's mm-hmm. He was a coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. they like him in that sense. It's just hard to get that image of him in Miami out of my head.
That was an ugly stint. They were on Hard Knocks. He showed no emotion. I just didn't feel that at all.
And then how it all went down with the, you know, getting fired, but then not. No, that was Sperano, but still, it was just
Tony Sperano passed away. That's terrible, man.
Yeah.
He was young.
Coaches got to take care of themselves, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I like Tony. I like Tony, but not to throw that curveball.
But my point is, it was the image of him in Miami just doesn't say, I want that guy.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So these last couple weeks, he's got to really resurrect himself.
He's off to a good start.
He
scored some points.
He is.
And they won. Okay, so let's get to Josh McDaniels. This is what I just wanted to set up all that coaching stuff to lead to this here. So Josh McDaniels, we know what happened last year with the Indianapolis Colts,
yep.
right? If you are a team and there's going to be a lot of openings, so if you don't necessarily want to run the risk of whether it's Josh or somebody else committing to somebody, you know, without actually signing, but you have an agreement, mm-hmm. and then that guy reverses course and you're left, wow, what do we do?
Yeah.
So would you hold, if you're a team that's going to look for a coach, would you hold what he did last year against them? Does it speak to a certain lack of conviction or trust that could play itself out down the road?
Oh, and I hate to say this because Frank Reich is doing a fantastic job with Andrew Luck and this team, and they've built around him. But let's not forget, their owner,
Jim Irsay was a little bit sporadic and a little bit all over the place.
Well, he's been a mess mostly his entire professional career.
And so I don't know what the conversations were like between Josh McDaniels and Irsay, and you know what parameters were put on him or what the hell was happening with Andrew Luck. So if I'm Josh McDaniels, and in retrospect you see all of this, he probably is regretting not taking that job. But in the moment, I can see why it became not as attractive as it may have seemed. Now, does he get forgiven for verbally agreeing and then reneging? In some circles, yes, and others, no.
Mm-hmm.
I would, though, because it worked out, right? The Colts weren't so irreparably harmed by him leaving, mm-hmm. that their franchise is set back, and we can blame. Nobody's talking about Josh McDaniels in Indianapolis right now. They don't.
No,
care.
No, but I'm talking about if I'm another team.
I know,
though the Colts have wound up were, maybe better.
But if they were,
doesn't matter to me.
If the Colts were terrible right now,
yep.
and their head coach, whoever they picked, was horrible, people would be talking about Josh McDaniels and the reputation. You'd be piling on Josh McDaniels. This is all because of Josh, and Josh did this, or Josh did that, and he left us in a lurch. Now we had to go find a guy who's not the right. None of that conversation is happening,
mm-hmm.
and so in actuality, he's escaping unharmed in some ways. And so, I think you keep it in the back of your mind. But if you're going to get a commit from Josh McDaniels, it better be solid. And he didn't have that because he was playing in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding it against him. I'm not.
I might. I don't know if I could trust him here. I mean, it was ugly in Denver. You got to factor that in, too.
Look at Steve Wilkes right now.
It's ugly.
Look at Steve Wilkes right now. We were just talking about this. This is a guy who was a hot defensive coordinator type. He wasn't a coordinator. He was a DB coach. But he was heading to be a defensive coordinator type. Gets an opportunity. It's going to be one and done.
But it's not ugly. It might not be successful, but it's not ugly. There's not drama. He was cocky. He was arrogant.
The way
he comported himself around the building, and that didn't go well in Denver.
In Denver. Yes.
Now you're mixing the fact that he bailed on the Colts. I don't know if I trust this guy.
But to me, they're mutually exclusive. They're not the same.
But don't you think it's part of your past? How is that not part of your reputation?
Well, look, Denver. What he did in Denver was try to be Bill Belichick in Denver, and it didn't work because the vets weren't there. The players weren't there. It was a gross miscalculation. They drafted Tim Tebow, for Christ's sakes. You know what I mean?
Who threw a touchdown against the Steelers. Yeah, okay. There was a walk-off 80-yard bomb.
I agree.
The ball went five yards in the air, but then Thomas ran 75.
Tebow won some games.
Was it Demaryius Thomas or Sanders? I think it was Demaryius.
Demaryius Thomas.
80 yards.
Yeah, because it was zero coverage.
Oh, my God.
Zero coverage. No safety. You got two big receiving threats. I mean, you could have thrown that pass.
I could have.
They didn't get home. It was free.
Give me that football real quick.
It was a disaster in Denver because he tried to be somebody else in Denver.
Yeah.
Right?
He wasn't himself.
And I hope he's learned from that. Sorry, Justin, you're going to get...
You're a prop. There we go. I could have made it.
Yeah. Yes, you could have made it.
I could have made that throw.
Yeah.
Lefty. Nice.
So the problem with using that as an evaluation is that it assumes that he hasn't learned. And I got to assume that he learned.
But why?
Because he went back back to Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick said, kid, don't be an ass. You know what I mean? Again, at the end of the day.
If he said that.
I don't know. I assume that coaches care about their trees. Andy Reid cares a whole lot about his tree, mm-hmm. his coaching tree. That's why he pushed.
And it's highly successful.
Unbelievably successful.
It's terrific.
He pushed Nagy into the coordinator position, even though he continued to play calls, built up his reputation, got him a head coaching job. He's a coach of the year candidate right now.
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to do the same with Eric Bieniemy right now as the offensive coordinator. Who knows if that works out? But I think in Anthony Lynn, who comes from a running back position like Eric Bieniemy, success may help change that narrative.
Oh, he's getting a job.
I completely agree.
And he should.
But it used to be a running back coach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't be a head coach. I mean, Jim Skipper was an interim head coach. That was my former running back coach for a minute. But
Skip.
He wasn't. I mean, he never.
Not here yet.
He was older too, but still.
Yeah.
I think coaches care about their tree. So when that's why Matt Patricia was groomed the way that he was groomed. Josh McDaniels is now being regroomed to be that guy. I gotta believe that Bill Belichick told him, don't be an ass. Be yourself. Don't be me, because you can't be me. And so the second time around, whenever that comes, this year or whenever, I don't think it'll be a replay of what we saw in Denver.
Okay, good stuff. Good conversation, Teak. Coming up next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. We'll get to that after Justin Shackle's update, which is right now. Here's Justin. Sunday, it's doubleheader as the playoffs take center stage. Miami takes on Minnesota. Then a huge game. Two teams fighting to win their divisions. The Pats collide with the Steelers. That's always fun. The day begins with the NFL Today, powered by Ram, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. So get your day started right. JB, Coach, Boomer, Phil, Nate Dogg. Actually, before that, start your day with us on Tops. Myself and Adam Schein, Amy Trask, Big Fletch, Captain Fletch, and the crew. CBS Sports Network, 8 Eastern on Sunday, right into the NFL Today. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Take top of the hour. It's very fluid, as they say in the biz. The playoff situation getting a little wacky. Mm-hmm. You and I will try to make some sense of it. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes. Next hour, our picks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have a little late season push, or is this going to be the usual?
Going to be 500 like I am every week.
You know, I love you, but I got to keep saying that because if you were 500 every week, you wouldn't be 42% of the season.
I'm 500 every week, and then I have a couple of weeks where I was 1-5, and then one was winless. I was 0-6.
That's
true. That'll do it
for you.
That
is true. You have been a lot better.
You go 1-11. It doesn't matter what else this is your 500. You're going to be below.
I've got a little south myself. I'm only at, what am I, 53% on the year?
It really gets hard at the end of the year.
It does. Injuries.
And especially when
weather.
We're still doing college games.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the year, these kids, all right, it's over.
Oh, you see it all the time.
Yeah, we just cash it in.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
A marquee conference, a team that feels they got snubbed for a better bowl, they don't even really take it seriously.
Right.
And they're playing against a mid-major, but a lesser conference, lower profile, that is so excited to be there.
Exactly.
And so engaged in every practice, and it plays itself out.
Makes a difference.
Tough to predict, pal. You ready for Inbounds, Out of Bounds?
Yep, let's get it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go, buddy. Tampa Bay Bucks, 5-8 on the season, but they've got the league's best offense, gaining over 430 yards a game. Now, many have called for head coach Dirk Cutter's firing. That's been a theme throughout, even really last year.
Yeah.
There was a thought he might not make it through into 2018, but he did. And through this, quarterback Jameis Winston isn't giving up on his head coach.
Yeah, I'm always fighting for my head coach. You know what I'm saying? Every week, I think we all are. We got a lot of respect for that man. He holds us to high standards, and we got to hold ourselves to that standard, too.
All right, so there. I'm not really sure what else he could say there.
Exactly.
I mean, he's kind of got to say something like that. But let's sort of throw a teak, see where you go with this. Now, in 3 years, Cutter, 19-26 in Tampa. Remember, he was 40-34 at Arizona State as the head coach. In or out, a team should keep its head coach if their most important player wants him to stay.
I'm going to say out of bounds, and because if organizationally you see this going in the wrong direction, a player, like we just said, kind of has to say the right thing, even though we don't know what he means behind the scenes. So also, is Jameis really the most important player on that team right now? It's a debatable question. I'll probably say yes, but Mike Evans is important.
Sure.
We saw Mike Evans thriving with Fitzmagic, as was D-Jack, DeSean Jackson. He was thriving with with Fitzmagic.
O.J. Howard makes a big plays.
O.J. Howard.
Big gashes.
Cameron Brate and Jameis get along great. I'm saying out of bounds. This is an interesting dynamic happening down in Tampa, both for the head coach and for the quarterback.
I'm going to absolutely say out of bounds. Now, just as a general premise, I would say there are times where it could be inbounds. But specific to the way Mike words the question, the reason I say out of bounds is not when your most important player is not reliable. You know, I mean, he's not, I know that they're putting up points in the yards, but a lot of the stats are skewed, as you said, from Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
It's not like Jameis Winston's putting up 430 yards a game.
Right.
Although he's starting to play better. I get that.
Agreed.
But for whatever reason, it hasn't connected with a lot of touchdowns for Mike Evans. Hopefully that changes this week. He's in my fantasy guy. But, I can't, like, if it's Aaron Rodgers and he is married, like, if he was just fighting and scratching for Mike McCarthy or, you know, if this was 2 years ago and you really still believe Joe Flacco was the guy and, you know, they were going to get rid of Harbaugh and Flacco stepped up and said, nah, or Eli with Coughlin or, there's just certain dynamics that deserve respect. With all due respect to Jameis Winston, he has not earned that right, and neither has Coach Cutter, so I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, how about this? Remember when former number two overall pick Jabari Parker signed with his hometown Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
He's put on a lot of weight.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, I'm not trying to fat shame him, but he doesn't look like an athlete who's trying.
He's got
to
get remotivated, dude.
Man, he's a mess. He just looks, he's too young to look like that. And earlier on 670 The Score in Chicago, here's what was said.
I just stick to my strengths, you know, like they don't pay players to play defense. You know, there's only two people historically to play defense. You know, I'm not going to say that I won't, but to say that's a weakness is like saying that's everybody's weakness. Because I scored 30s and 20s on a lot of guys who say they play defense.
Okay, there you go. And things haven't gotten a whole lot better for Parker in Chicago. The rocky start. It's still going downhill here, Teak. Reports suggesting Parker's now out of the team's regular rotation. He's only 23. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
23.
Yeah.
And he just signed for $40 million. He's a bust. Not to mention the rookie contract he had, which was a lot of money, obviously. 15 points a game for his career, including over 20 a game just 2 years ago. Now, to be fair, he's ripped up his knee twice.
Yep.
And cardiovascularly, you can't run, you put weight on. Maybe his knee's not right. I mean, I want to be fair to him, but the question is this: Jabari Parker can still be a contributor on a contending team.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds, but this is with trepidation, DT. He's still young. He's got to find a new motivation. He might have scored 30 on guys who play defense. But he's got to create a new identity for himself. And if that's hustling and being a defender as well.
That's never going to happen.
But you know what I'm saying? You got to do something else than what you're currently doing. I'm going to say inbounds, but I'm not very confidently saying inbounds. I don't want to give up on a kid that's 23.
I hear you. And I generally try not to do that either. But I'm going to confidently say out of bounds here because I don't know how much Jabari Parker loves basketball. And now in season 5, I've got enough evidence to know that Jabari Parker has no interest in being great. And that's a problem for me because he's not a defender. And again, you look at him, he's got a very doughy body. You know, just spend some time in a weight room. You're 23 years old.
True.
Your body's going to change. Yeah. Put some time in.
It's your job to work out.
Be a pro.
It's your job to work out.
Exactly.
Be in great shape.
Yeah, be a pro. I mean, not everybody's got to look like the Greek Freak or Russell Westbrook, but I mean, have a little professional pride. And when you lack professional pride, when you're trying to begin your career and get respect and establish the baseline of how you're viewed, and this is how you approach your job,
agreed.
I don't want you on my team if I have designs of winning a championship.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, see, a little baseball. Now, last season, Manny Machado made it very clear that he was only interested in playing shortstop for whatever team he signs with, but it started to change a little bit. His personal coach, Bobby Dickerson, told the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday, quote, "I do think for the correct team," here we go, a little spin job, of course. "I do think for the correct team, the correct situation, and the right contract, of course. All those things, he'd be willing to play third. I don't know this, but I believe it," end quote. Members, well, Bryce Harper said he might be open to, you know, playing a little first base, taking ground balls in or out. All right, with teams cutting payroll around the league, big name free agents like Machado and Harper are getting desperate.
I'm going to say no. I think this is out of bounds. I don't think they're desperate, but I think these guys set their monetary sights on the moon with the idea, cliche, is that they're going to land in the stars, right? Mm-hmm. They're still going to be up there big number-wise. Teams are, interestingly, probably clearing payroll so they can actually take runs at guys like this.
Yep.
So I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think they're desperate. But I do think they're trying to overly control their narratives a little bit more than we've seen in past years with free agents like this.
Okay, I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I don't think they're desperate at all. They have no need to be desperate. You know, you could say whatever, you nitpick a little bit, Machado this, Machado that, didn't hustle, Harper this, whatever. You know, he hasn't maybe been quite what we thought he'd be. They're getting paid. What they're doing here, and it's smart, it's called business, T, and you can appreciate this. They're showing great flexibility.
Yep.
They're showing great versatility and a willingness to, quote-unquote, conform for the betterment of the team. And when you do that and you project that message publicly and positively and in a believable way, what does it do? It ups your value.
Right.
It might get two or three extra bidders.
Right.
Like, if the Yankees really believe that guy, and we're looking at Bryce, will take rounders at first base?
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, now the Yankees are in the bidding war. And when the Yankees enter the fray, it's a different number.
Money gets higher.
Smart. Smart move. They're not desperate. They're terrific baseball players.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T, how about this? Former Maryland head coach DJ Durkin, who was fired after the death of Jordan McNair, will now be a consultant for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Durkin was 11-15 as head coach in college football. And during his tenure at Maryland, he was accused of, quote, bullying and verbally humiliating his players. You and I talked a lot about this on the show. It was a constant for about a good week or two, maybe more. In or out, Alabama hiring DJ Durkin just months after he was fired for the neglectful death of one of his players is in or out?
I'm going to say inbounds here, BT. We talked about this extensively. Now, we didn't put full blame on DJ Durkin for Jordan McNair's death. He wasn't out there running the drill and screaming at him and yelling at him. Even though there were reports of bullying and harsh tactics, and ultimately he's responsible for that and deserved to lose his job. You can't say that he killed Jordan McNair. It was gross neglect by the strength trainer who was running the drill, by the medical staff who took this kid in and did nothing despite the obvious signs. These things happen frequently with guys getting overheated and being in distress. They're usually handled correctly. IVs, get in a water tub, and a disaster is averted. So while he was responsible, I can't put the death fully on DJ Durkin. So him getting an opportunity with Nick Saban, and Nick Saban's a rehabilitator par excellence, I think is inbounds, BT.
Yeah, I struggle with this one. Mm-hmm. I went with inbounds ultimately as well. You know, there are checkpoints. There's protocol. Mm-hmm. DJ Durkin is obviously the face, or was the face of the program, for good or bad. And obviously it's much more bad. Otherwise, he'd still be the head coach of Maryland.
Yep.
But the protocol and the checkpoints, there are trainers, and there are things that have to happen that should happen, and that's why there was negligence, because they didn't. So I'm going to say inbounds, because I'm with you in the sense that, you know, I almost don't want to even, but it's like people almost make it seem like he had a gun and he pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Like he literally killed him.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened.
No.
And I'm incredibly sensitive to the young man's family, so I don't want to even really probe too deeply into that. The young man is dead. Yep. He's never coming back.
Yep. He deserved to be fired. Horrendous. He deserved to be fired.
No problem with getting fired. I say inbounds because he didn't literally kill him, but I will say this to Nick Saban. Did you have to hire him? Hmm. Did you have to hire him? I mean, is that going to tilt the balance of your season? Did you really have to hire him? I know it's your right. I know it's not illegal. But for the optics, did you have to hire him?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to? Did you really have to?
Probably not.
That's all I'm saying.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You think there's going to be backlash?
No, because this was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
And I don't think he cares.
No. I don't think he does either.
He's in his own little bubble. This is the same guy on the day of the presidential election had the audacity to look us in the face and lie and say,
yeah, there's an election.
There's an election today. I mean, aside from coming across like a dope, it's incredibly irresponsible, which he's not. It's incredibly irresponsible to project that on a college campus. You're an educator as well.
True.
Come on.
Let's not forget he brought in Sark. Steve Sarkisian, after he was fired for...
But that was booze. That's different. A different type of rehabilitation.
True.
Far more accepted and far more common.
Agreed.
You know, in terms of plaguing many members of society, including probably somebody from every family, from every person that we know.
No doubt about it.
You know, whether it's booze or drugs. So, yeah, he does this all the time. I'm just not a huge Saban fan. I'm just not. And I don't know why I'm turning this into a Saban tangent. I'm just not a Nick Saban guy.
Look, Nick Saban is a heck of a coach.
No doubt.
It's his
best of all time.
It's the personality or lack thereof that leaves us befuddled. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? What do you actually stand for? Yeah. Other than winning, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I think in today's world, we want to know more about people.
A little more sensitivity.
That, but we want to know more, right? We just want to know who you are.
Like a natural curiosity.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's like, I'm not going to necessarily accept you just because you're great.
Yep.
Because you could be an ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I like you because you're successful at what you're doing. So let me in.
Well, he is an ass. And I, you know who told me that? Bart Scott.
Yeah.
So before Bart.
Oh, that's right.
Before Bart went to the NFL Today, mm-hmm. and of course doing a great job now down the hall locally, WFAN. Bart's a great guy. You know that. Bart's yeah. awesome. Strong opinions. Great dude. And, you know, not drafted. Every scrap he got in the NFL, he earned.
Mm-hmm.
And as he started to pop, he was recruited late. And then Nick Saban at this point was, and Bart told me this because he was working on Tops the first
Michigan
year
State.
Before the NFL Today. Yeah, he's obviously a Michigan kid locally. And he met with Nick, and he's like, and he just told me, he's like, this guy's the biggest jerk I've ever met. And they offered him. Right. And Bart's like, I'm not coming to play for you.
Yeah.
It's too late, too surly, not feeling it. Peace.
He bounced on him anyway.
Yeah. And that was before, like, he. If any, not that it's right to turn into a jerk after you win multiple championships, but some people do. I think he's just always been kind of a jerk. You know? Just not that nice of a guy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.